Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today. Plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, indeed, and I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney once again. Well, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny.
I think we can see light at the end of this tunnel.
Yes, and it's not a train this time.
No oncoming train.
It's springtime.
As a matter of fact.
Spring starts next week, too.
That's right, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. It does. Yes, indeed. And I mentioned it earlier that maybe with these temperatures that are moderating by the end of the week, some folks will see their lawns earlier.
Yes. And it's too early to put down your crabgrass preventer, please.
And don't walk on the lawns yet.
Don't walk on the lawns. Don't rake. Just let it dry out.
Patience.
Patience is a virtue.
Tell you what, we've mentioned folks are calling in and texting in as we speak. If you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to talk with Teresa Rooney here. And again, either by phone or by text, there's a line open. They're going to be filling fast. So don't wait. 651-989-9226 or send a text at 81807, 81807. And another thing, Teresa, that you know, but I'll mention, that our friends at By the Yard, they make that best outdoor furniture down in Jordan, Minnesota, sponsors the show every week, and we do appreciate that. It's great stuff. All right. You know, speaking of good things, a lot of good things going on at the Arboretum around town.
There are. It's just amazing. Well, at the Arboretum, I know they're working a lot with Maple Fest and the pancake breakfast is coming up at the end of this month. So, you know, hit the Arboretum. There's yoga in the garden tomorrow.
Yoga?
You'll be inside. You won't be outside. But they have yoga. So I think it's over, I don't remember which building it's at, but they have that. And then there's a bud run on the 5th of May. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on at the garden, lots of classes. And then if you don't want to go to the Landscape Arboretum, a lot of master gardeners are in their own county putting on garden days and gala days. And so you can go and learn all different kinds of things about garden. I was up at Chisago County Master Gardeners Garden Day, and I say, thank you, Chisago County. You gardeners and master gardeners put on a great day. Thank you. They did a good job. And also, I didn't mention this earlier, but the Minnesota Hort Society got a hold of the five-season gardening of Pete Oldoff. And he's a European garden landscape designer. And I saw the movie at the Riverview
really?
Theater this last week. You have to buy your tickets to the Arboretum, and they are still doing it in a few different cities throughout the states. We had a full house, and we had 90 minutes of beautiful gardens. And then there was a discussion afterwards. So I say thanks to the Hort Society for putting that together. And if that movie is coming to your town, do get a chance to see it. Yeah.
We were talking before the show, and I was pleasantly surprised to read, and I can't remember where it was. I think it was last week, that there are more younger folks, mm-hmm. quote, younger folks,
yep. mm-hmm.
Interested in gardening, large or small.
Sure.
But they're men, young men.
Younger men. We're noticing a lot of more young men coming into the Master Gardener program, too, which is nice. And we would love to see more people of color and diversity, because as all of that reflects in our communities into our Master Gardening program, we can then serve our cities even better. So
excellent.
Yeah, but we are seeing a lot more men. And, you know, gardening is something you can do when you're 2 years old to you're 100 years old. So.
We hear it, you and I hear it on the phone calls that we get, too, mm-hmm. at least the sound of yep. more men calling and
exactly.
they're younger, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
yep.
good.
Yep.
All right.
And, you know, when you garden, you actually can feed yourself. So, I mean, you can get food out of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want something substantial.
But it's very therapeutic besides.
It's very therapeutic. Yeah. It's very relaxing. It's amazing what gardening will do. It can keep you flexible. It can keep you moving. Helps you get out into your community. You know, let somebody else do the dishes or clean the cat box. You go out gardening.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of reasons to garden.
And my oldest daughter was excited. She had the chance to meet
you.
Was that at Bachman's?
That was at the Bachman's Winter Farmers Market. And she's a wonderful young lady. Man. Hi, Tina. It was nice to meet you. And yeah, it was great.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right, let's answer some questions here, Teresa. Let's go to the phones first. Bill is calling in from Woodbury, I believe. Hi, Bill. What's your question for Teresa?
Hi, Bill.
Oh, good morning. I have a novelty question for you.
Okay.
After a long fall and winter, after all the wind, rain, and snow, how can there still be a few leaves on some of the trees?
That's a good question. The chemicals in the trees that say to release the leaves or senesce don't always get there. And some of those, you know, it could be that they're actually frozen on the trees, but the connections just don't break. And they don't, sometimes it just doesn't. I know, especially the oak trees.
I was going to say, we have some oaks in our front yard.
And they tend to do that. They hold on. And that's just part of also their way of coping with the world, whether it's to hold snow that then is going to melt and be under their canopy or whatever it may be, or breaking the rain so it doesn't wreck up the soil under the canopy of the tree so much, or whatever is its motivation to do that, the reason why it developed to do that. But it is amazing. You would think by now with the gale force winds and everything
it's
else.
It's like a gift that keeps on giving, falling
yes,
leaves.
Yes, yes, especially if you
round.
Have a garden or a yard that you would like nice and clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill. Good question.
Thanks, Bill. Mm-hmm.
Let's see who's next. Deb is calling from Lake Elmo, I believe. Hi, Deb. Good morning.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, good morning. My question is, so I have a dog, and as dogs do, they pee in, or the urine. I have urine spots all over my yard. Is there a way to get rid of those brown urine spots throughout the year?
There is. What you there's a few different options. You can train your dog to go in one area on a mulch bed or something, and your dogs can be trained for that, or on a pee post if it's a male dog. Otherwise, what your dog is basically doing is over-fertilizing an area, so you're getting a fertilizer burn there. And so what you need to do is dig up the dead grass, maybe add a little compost into the soil, and then just replant there. There's nothing else you can do. There's nothing you can feed your dog. There's nothing you can put in the soil. It's a fertilizer burn. And basically, unless you followed your dog around, and as soon as he or she peed right there, you flushed it with water, that's the only way you could prevent that. So it's either train your dog to go in one area, live with the brown marks, or just use the little patches and clean up the area, dig out the dead grass, put in a little compost, throw down the patches or the grass seed, and just keep replanting. Dogs and lawns are like trees and lawns. They have a tougher relationship together.
That's true. All right, Deb, thank you. Let's go to New Ulm, Teresa. I think Mary has been waiting there. Mary, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I recently replanted a peach plant. And now the leaves sort of are curled, not all completely curled over, but are flopped over. And I just wonder if it was too cold by a window when we had that bad, you know, cold weather. I have it in a corner where the window is. But
was it always so in that corner? Is that where you always kept it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, it could be that that's part of it, but it also could be it's just the shock of being transplanted. Depends upon, you know, how you had to manipulate the roots, if you did a lot of, you know, tearing apart of the roots, which is not always a bad thing, but the plants do, that's a big shock. Like when we move, it's a big shock. When plants are transplanted, their roots get disturbed. It's a big shock. You know, if the leaves are starting to brown off, you just cut them. They're not, nothing is, you know, that's good. Brown, dead is dead. It's never coming back again. Make sure that you did put it in soil that has nice drainage and that you did put it and give it a good drink of water when you replanted it. And then after you replant any kind of house plant or anything, you don't want to be fertilizing it for about, I'd say, at least a month until you see that it's reacted well and it started growing again. If you fertilize too soon, you can get a lot of more root damage. With the little roots it's trying to put out, they get burned by the fertilizer. They're just not strong enough. So those could be some of the options, but just treat it as gently as possible. Make sure it's getting enough water, not too much water, that there's drainage, and just cut off the dead leaves or the leaves that look really bad, and that'll help you make the plant look a little bit better, too. Good luck.
Thanks, Mary. I'll tell you what, let's take a break, Teresa.
Okay.
We'll do that, and when we come back, let's grab some text messages from our listeners. If you want to call in your question, 651-989-9226. There's a line open. You can use it. Or send Teresa your text, 81807, 81807. It's 8:24 in the morning, 21 degrees here on CCO. Denny, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your questions by phone and by text. Your lawn and garden questions. There's a line open. You want to call it in, 651-989-9226. Teresa, we'll grab some text messages at 81807. We'll do that in a moment. But Dan, I believe, is calling from White Bear Lake with a question. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning. I love your show, and I thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Oh, pleasant.
I have few apple, pear, and citron trees, and I have every year so many water sprouts. How best can I cut it so they don't grow anymore?
These are those tree sprouts.
Yep. You know, some trees just really like to sprout up. The only thing you can do is keep cutting them. There's nothing you can do to the tree itself. It doesn't hurt the tree.
Okay.
No, you want to cut those off. It's just how some, like aspens, will propagate. One aspen tree will propagate a whole mountainside. So that's really one tree. So that's just how some plants are. And you just have to keep running them over with the lawnmower or cutting them. And sometimes some varieties are just really prone to doing those little shoots that
so
come up from
trim
the
them off.
Just keep cutting them, Dan.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, let's go back to the text messages. The texter does want a recommendation needed for apartment. They want a fast-growing vine needed for apartment screen porch for privacy.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm wondering, is it an inside or an outside
apartment?
Doesn't
say.
Okay. I'm assuming it's going to be an inside plant. You could do some of the
But it's a screen porch.
Maybe. Well, it might be like a balcony kind of a screen porch. But this, you know, there's nothing that's going to live above ground in the wintertime out there, probably. It may overwinter a few times. So you may want to try some annual plants, you know, some like beans. And it depends on how much sun you're going to get. Otherwise, you could go with some of the like the pothos or some of the ivies. The house plants are pretty fast growing. Maybe not even thinking about a vine, but consider hanging some plants from the ceiling on hooks if possible in pots. Just that little bit of screening will give you a little bit of privacy there. That might help. You know, you can also hang some very attractive, you know, semi-see-through curtains and things like that. That might, you know, a very outdoorsy feeling, but that might help to give you some screening.
I like that, the hanging pots.
You know, and if you're inside, you know, a spider plant can really just cascade down and be very beautiful. And some of the hanging baskets, again, depending upon how much sunshine you get and how much light you have out there, you can get some beautiful flowering ones or just some house plants that will be really pretty, too.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. If you want to send a text, 81807 or call us, 651-989-9226. Let's go to Sabina, who's calling from St. Paul this morning. Good morning, Sabina.
Hi, Sabina.
Hi, good morning, you guys. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. My question is about a lilac bush that we have. We have a 1901 house. This lilac bush is probably decades old, but it's pushing against the retaining wall that leads down to our basement, and it's just starting to crumble. My husband's all about taking it out and getting rid of it. I'm wondering, can a lilac bush that's decades old, can it be replanted, or should I just kiss it goodbye?
You know, you could try replanting it or moving it, you know, especially if there's, and if you don't want to take the big bush, there may be some suckers that have come out. Like in this case, well, Dan didn't want suckers. You want suckers. So you could take some of those suckers and you could cut those off and move those instead. But it sounds like, the retaining wall has been damaged. It's been compromised and it's only going to get worse. So you've got to do something. And, you know, and so I would either pull out the whole bush and you can try transplanting it, or take some of the suckers, cut them off from the mother plant, and then also take the mother plant and see if you can propagate it that way.
Hey, I'm looking at the text screen, and I'm wondering if we're not getting to the end of the trimming. Can we trim oak trees yet? Can we do that
yet?
Mm-hmm. Still can.
Yep, you still can. When you're thinking about trimming these oaks and elms and ashes, think about, could it be insects out there? It's still pretty cold, so now we're going to get some degrees that are 50-degree days. That's too warm. There could be insects flying around out there. So if, like today, you could probably still do it because it's only going to be 30, 32 degrees. But we are coming to the end of that season. So that's why we don't trim those trees, because of insects vectoring diseases usually.
Okay. Teresa, hang on.
Okay, I'm hanging.
We have another half hour of the show to go if you want to chat with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Call in your question or send a text. Phone number 651-989-9226. Text, meanwhile, 818-807 it is. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, welcoming your phone calls and text messages. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to talk to this Master Gardener. She's helped us out for a long time here on CCO and is doing so today. So, callers, Teresa, as usual, and texters. Tell you what, let's do the phones first.
Shall we do
that? Mm-hmm. And I have to mention, too, that our friends at By the Yard, makers of that great patio furniture down in Jordan, Minnesota, sponsor the show every week. We thank them for that. All right, let's go to Montgomery. I think Jeannie's there with a question first. Jeannie, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Jeannie.
Good morning, kids. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
I like that kid.
I like the kids.
I normally prune my apple, peach, and apricot trees in February because it's so low in my meadow. It was completely inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
If we have to prune them now, or you know, to get to them, should, because they're a fruit bearing and I know we have to worry about insects, mm-hmm. should we be following up with some kind of a spray or?
You know, if you can get it done this weekend, I probably wouldn't worry too much about it. But if you have to start waiting later into the season, like next weekend or the following weekend, probably do a pruner sealer afterwards and then sterilize your pruner between every single cut. So it's a lot of extra work. So I would get done as much as you can this weekend, if possible, while the weather's still cold and we're not seeing funguses flying through the air and insects flying through the air.
Yeah, having to prune or having to clean your tool in between every cut.
It slows you way down.
Very motivational to get it done this
weekend. Well, good, good. Okay, get out there and do it then. Just be careful, okay?
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Thank you very much. Jeannie leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. Tell you what, let's go to Susan. Susan's calling from Coon Rapids, I believe. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi there. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
Fantastic.
How are you?
Wonderful. I got a quick question. My son parked my car over my garden over the winter, mm-hmm. and it leaked oil,
mm-hmm.
and he moved it out, and there's oil everywhere, and that's the best spot for my garden.
Mm.
I'm okay. just wondering, is it safe to grow there this year?
What kind of things are you growing there?
Well, I'm not sure.
Are these your veggies or are they flowers?
Veggies.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'd clean up as much of the snow as you possibly can.
Okay.
And then, if possible, if it didn't get down to the soil, you're going to be okay.
Okay.
Was there a garden there already or no?
Yeah, I've had a garden there 15 years.
Okay. So then I would kind of see if it's gotten down into the soil. If it's gotten into the soil, you know, I'd probably be leery about planting any of your root crops. I don't know how it's going to impact the plants themselves, but you could do like tomatoes and things like that where everything is filtered pretty much by the plant, but I probably wouldn't do a lot of root crops. And if you do lettuces and things, I'd wash the leaves super well, but I'd probably maybe not do those either.
Okay.
I try to do things like squashes and beans and tomatoes and things.
Okay.
You can also, as soon as the ground starts to thaw, you can really just water and water and water and understand this can wash away a lot of the nutrients and yeah, good luck. That's kind of hard. Yeah.
I wondered too, I was thinking along the lines if someone had the same issue
mm-hmm.
and wanted to remove that soil.
You could remove the soil.
Where do you bring it? Would the hazardous waste place take
I would
dirt?
Probably contact hazardous waste or contact your city offices and ask them, you know, I've had this spill, so now it is a hazardous waste and put it, you know, figure out what to do with it.
I bet one of our listeners sends it to
I'm
text
sure one
effect.
Of our listeners, because they're smart. They know this
Absolutely.
stuff.
Absolutely. All right. Number is 651-989-9226. Let's go to Monticello. Cindy is on CCO. Cindy, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Cindy.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call today. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a variety of pine trees in our yard. Some I know are blue spruce. There's mm-hmm. a variety of others. But I noticed on the lower parts of the tree, we've got some dead branches.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, how long can I start cutting them off, and when should I stop
dead
in
is
case
dead.
Of bug infestation?
No, dead is dead. You can cut off anything that's dead at any time of the year. So
okay,
dead
well,
is dead,
you.
And go ahead and cut that back. Mm-hmm. Yep, good luck.
All right, thanks very much. I'm going to grab a text message or two first, but I think Ed's calling from Bloomington with a question. Ed, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Ed.
Oh, good morning, Sam. Really happy to call in. I listen to your show on Saturdays and really enjoy it. Sometimes I just snuggle in bed for a few extra minutes, and it's very peaceful.
Okay,
Lucky you.
We're jealous. We're jealous.
I'm up now, though.
Okay.
So here's my question. With this heavy snow that we've had the last week or so,
mm-hmm.
We've got a big line of fairly tall arborvitaes mm-hmm. in our backyard going across, and the deer have turned it into a little buffet from
yes.
roughly ground level to about 5 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
How can I rebuild that or trim out and get it to grow? I know they're pretty slow growing.
Mm-hmm. What you can do is, now there may be growing points that once the sunlight hits them will be activated and you may get some sprouting. Otherwise, you may just have limbed up arborvitaes, and this is just something that, you know, we have to now deal with. And then that's something we have to consider when we have, you know, things like the arborvitaes and the spirea that the deer and the bunnies like, and we have to anticipate how much snow we're going to get. This was kind of unprecedented for us to get this much, and so the animals could get way high over our fences. So there's really not much you can do. Trim off anything that looks really awkward and is broken off in a funny area, and just hope that some of it resprouts, and there's not much you can really do to redesign the plant. I'm sorry to tell you that.
All right, Ed, thanks. Yeah, thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Text number, by the way, 81807. Here's one. We've joked before in the past about maybe having some kind of an award for the first person to call or text. How do I get rid of Creeping Charlie?
Well, if you don't want Creeping Charlie in your yard, there's a few ways you can do it. You can always pull it, and that works. You have to be on top of it, and you have to keep at it. You can get ahead of it. Understand there's a seed bank in your soil then that has Creeping Charlie seeds, so try not to disturb the soil. Plant something that will grow in place of Creeping Charlie. So you don't just want to leave a barren area because Creeping Charlie will come back in again. So you want to change the conditions. You can also use chemicals on it. You would want to use those chemicals on it, and those would be weed killers that specifically say they kill Creeping Charlie, broadleaf weed killers. And you want to use that when the plant is blooming and also after the first frost. Those are the two best times it seems to hit the plant a little bit better, and the plant takes in more of the killing agent and it not gets knocked back. Those are what you can do.
Right.
And if you don't want it to spread, you can keep it contained in an area. Once it finishes blooming, mow it down so then the seeds don't, it doesn't put out seeds, but it will still send out runners. So you got to keep the runners in the area.
Does it not like shady areas?
It likes
generally?
Shady areas. It likes sunny areas.
It'll take anything.
I know there's a certain pH in the soil that it likes, and I can't remember what that is, but Creeping Charlie is just one of those plants that will just take over some empty areas.
Big
and it
time.
Can overpower other plants.
Yeah.
So you just have to be on the watch for it. In some areas, it works perfectly to hold the soil, and in some areas, you don't want it. So then you just have to, physically removing it is usually the easiest, and I say that the easiest, it's not that easy, but it's usually the most effective way to do it.
Teresa, a texter from Southwest Minneapolis questions, is it too late to cut back my smokebush shrubs and hydrangea shrubs? And how far back can I cut them if that's...
No, you can cut those back anytime. I'd probably wait till maybe they started coming out of dormancy if you wanted to keep some of the height. Otherwise, you can, you know, depending upon what kind of hydrangeas or it is, you can cut it all the way back to the ground if you want, and the smoke bush will come back up again. Mm-hmm. It's fine to do that.
You know what we haven't done yet?
What? Oh, we haven't said extension.umn.edu.
No, that great resource.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell us again.
Yep. Yeah, so if we miss your questions, or if you don't understand what I've said because I babbled, or if we don't get to you, go to extension.umn.edu and click on the garden page, and you'll find lots of wonderful information. There's landscaping information there. There's what plant is this? What insect is this? What is happening to my tomatoes? There's all kinds of amazing things on there. So even if you don't have a gardening question and you have, you know, half an hour to 12 hours, just go there and just zone out. It's kind of like binge watching, only it's binge computing. So do it.
Extension.umn.edu.
Yep.
All right. We'll mention that again before Teresa leaves us today. Let's see who has been waiting out there. It is Donna who's calling from Northfield, I believe. Donna, you are on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Donna.
Good morning. I love your show. I have two quick questions about amaryllis. I have several that I save over the years. One bloomed last year, not this year. Is that done? Should I dispose of that?
You know, it just probably didn't get enough energy to rebloom this year. If the plant looks healthy, and if you can get them outside in the summertime, so they really can plump up those leaves and get those bulbs just full of energy, that will really help. And then maybe give it a little bit of a fertilizer too outside in the summertime. That'll help it too.
And then I have several young ones.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't blooming, but they have all kinds of leaves. Will they sometime bloom?
They will. They're just babies now.
So just keep going.
Yep, you know how big the bulb was when it that's how big those bulbs have to get. So those little babies have a little way to go.
Yeah, they do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much.
You bet. Good luck.
Bye.
Thanks, Donna. All right.
Let's see who's next on the phone. By the way, there's a line open, 651-989-9226. Joe in St. Cloud may have a treatment for that oil.
All right, Joe.
Joe?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, there are microbes in the soil that do break down those hydrocarbons.
Mm-hmm.
And what those microbes need is fertilizer to help with that process.
Okay.
And it may take a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
depending on the amount of oil that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But if they apply some nitrogen fertilizer to that, okay. over time, that oil will decompose from the microbes in the soil.
You know, it's amazing how much of the problems we create in this world, nature can take care of if we give her time. So yeah, adding some extra compost to the soil will disperse some of that, and the fertilizer,
how about
too.
That?
Good. Thanks, Joe. That's
Thanks,
a great, great response.
I knew
Thank
we'd
you.
Get some kind of
Somebody.
Response.
Those guys are, you guys are so smart out there. You're amazing.
Teresa, hang on. We'll take a quick break here. We have more show to come. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in or text it in here to CCO. It's 21 degrees now in the Twin Cities in the midst of our Lawn and Garden Show called Smart Garden. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is with us. Teresa, we've got a bunch of callers and texters.
Excellent. But if we don't get to you guys, go to extension.umn.edu.
All right. Very good. Let's see who's been waiting. Bob in Bloomington is the next up here. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Good morning. Help make it spring, please. I have a yard that is heavily shaded
mm-hmm.
by trees,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering, is it possible to put two seed with fescues versus a bluegrass to get, I prefer to have fescues
mm-hmm.
As we go forward here.
Yep.
So well, is there a way to do that?
The fescues are going to be the only thing that's going to possibly grow there. The bluegrass won't. And depending upon how heavy the shade is, even the fescues may struggle a little bit. So think of that. You may also want to consider some sedges if you don't need to walk on it a lot. They are grass-like plants and can take the shade. And there is a Pennsylvania sedge that gets a little higher and can take over, can grow in the shadier areas. It looks like a grass. But yeah, fescues would be the ones that could take a little less sunshine. And those would be the seeding mixes that you'd want to look at.
All right, good luck. Very good. Thanks, Bob. Cheryl is calling from Minnetonka, I believe, on CCO. Cheryl, you are on with Teresa.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling because I have been unable to grow cucumbers in our garden the past 2 years. The first year I tried to use seeds that were mosaic treated,
mm-hmm.
and so I planted them, and the same thing happened. They sprout, they come up, and then the leaves get like little holes all over. It's not a bug. I treated it with some spray in that, and
mm-hmm.
then last year I planted another type of cucumber that was disease-resistant, mosaic-resistant, and then they started coming up, growing pretty good, and then all of a sudden it started showing the same sign on the leaves. So I went to Tonkadale in Minnetonka, and they recommend to spray with Revitalize. It's a biofungicide.
Okay.
And it didn't work either.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering. I tried even putting seeds in one of my flower beds, and the mm-hmm. same thing happened there.
Do you have, do you grow tomatoes and things too?
Yes.
They're okay. All right. Okay. You know, there could just be something in the soil, and I would try maybe some cucumbers in pots. Try some bush cucumbers and see if that's going to work for you. There may just be something in the soil that is not going to let you grow cucumbers. I don't know exactly what it would be, but there could be a fungus in the soil that's just impacting all the cucumbers, and that's what I would try. And then again, just keep trying different varieties in your garden. Eventually, hopefully, one you'll find will be resistant to whatever you have going on in your garden. You could have a soil test done, but I don't think there's much they can really figure out with just that. It would be very expensive. You'd have to have a very specialized soil test. So I would try them in pots. That's what I would try. Or create a raised garden and then put like cardboard at the bottom of that garden and then do a raised garden and try growing cucumbers in that with soil that you brought in. Those would be my suggestions. Good luck.
Thank you, Cheryl. Let's go to Big Lake. Barry is in calling from there. Barry, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Barry.
Hi, I have a couple of things I'm planning on. I'm looking for a different kind of mulch, and I've noticed these compressed bales of pine shavings
mm-hmm.
at garden centers,
mm-hmm.
and wondering if that's a good idea.
You could do that, sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, and the other one is I'm planning on transplanting a colony of bloodbane.
Okay.
And I'm not too sure how to go about it. I want them to bloom next year.
Okay. Do you mean the little blood root, the little tiny
blood root? Yeah, blood root.
The little tiny ones. Okay.
Alder, yeah.
Okay. They bloom in the spring, so I would transplant them as soon as they finished blooming. Move them carefully and put them back in a shady area where they like to be. You know, I was just thinking of the pine shavings. I'm not sure if you're looking at pine shavings, which are like chopped up wood. Depends on what kind of garden you're going to put that in. They may take a little bit of the nitrogen out of the soil as that the pine wood breaks down because it's smaller pieces. So you may just want to look and watch your plants for a little bit of nitrogen deficiency. And if you see that, give them a light nitrogen feeding. If this is your veggie garden, I would not do that kind of mulch in your veggie garden. It can break into the soil too easily, if that's any help.
All right.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks, Barry. Texter says, is impatient blight and impatient fungus the same thing? Mine lost all flowers and leaves midsummer.
Yep.
Have not planted them for 2 years. Is it now safe?
I would give it 3 years.
Three?
And yeah, it's a disease that's in the soil, and I'd give it 3 years to break out. Some of the New Guinean patients are resilient to it, so they're a little bit resistant to it. Otherwise, you know, look at some other plants and grow some coleus and some, you know, begonias and some ferns and, you know, break outside your impatient box and just go wild and crazy and try other things.
Sounds good.
Then once you get back to your impatience, you'll feel so much happier because you miss them for so long, but you'll have learned about other plants too.
Texture says, I have some new raised beds, 20 inches tall. Are there any vegetables or fruits that don't do well in a raised bed? How about rhubarb or strawberries?
You know, anything's going to do well in there. What I would worry about with any kind of raised bed is if the soil freezes and thaws in the wintertime for those annuals. So it depends on how big the mass is. So if you're going to plant perennials, put those more toward the center of the raised bed where it's going to stay frozen all winter long, and then plant your annual veggies on the outside, your annual stuff on the outside. If you know it's not going to, for some reason, maybe you have, I don't know, maybe it's really a huge bed or something, you don't have to worry about that. But being above the ground, it just can freeze and thaw at those edges a little bit. So that's where you get the damage and the death from plants.
Teresa, a texter wants to know, have you ever started onions from seeds outside in a tray with a cover?
No, but you could give it a shot. Try like the winter sowing method for your onions. I'm not sure how that would work. They kind of take a long time to germinate from what I remember. But I have not tried it, but I would certainly give it a shot. Try winter sowing them. Mm-hmm.
Remember that earlier text about privacy from the porch,
mm-hmm.
but another texter says we needed privacy. So on our deck, we put up panels of lattice.
Yep.
From the hardware store. They work perfectly.
They work perfectly. It gives you still, you can see through it, but it just gives you enough privacy.
Yeah.
And it breaks some of the wind, too. So that helps.
Good point.
That's kind of bad in the summer if you need the wind to cool down. But it does give you just that little bit of privacy. So even just a trellis that is a little even more open, just that visual stoppage will really give you, even if it's like big holes in it, it's amazing how your eye just stops and you have to force your eye to go on after that.
We have about 60 seconds, but
okay.
I want to grab this last text. Is there any chance the polar vortex this winter will kill off some of the Japanese beetle grubs? Are there any ground pre-treatments can be done in early spring to kill them?
The polar vortex probably isn't going to touch it. And the beetles, would hate a really dry spring, which we're probably not going to have. And there are some, go to the extension.umn.edu, click on the garden tab. They do talk about some products you can put in the soil that'll take out the grubs.
And I know you urged our listeners to get to the Arboretum, right?
Get to the Arboretum, join the Minnesota Hort Society, support your master gardeners, get your hands dirty in the soil whenever you possibly can.
And join all the young guys that are becoming gardeners.
Yeah, yeah, and the young ladies, too. There's there's a lot of young people
all
out there.
Right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks,
good
Danny.
To see you again.
Good to see you.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing! Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.